John answered, saying to all, I indeed, but one mightier than I is coming. Baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Let me just say it one more time. He, Jesus, the baptizer, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Hallelujah. I feel that today. Hallelujah. Everybody say fire with me. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Hallelujah. Would you stretch your hand toward me today? And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that you put in my spirit today. Hallelujah. I thank you for sending fresh fire upon the church. I pray for the fire of God is to be poured out in this place. I pray for it to burn brightly. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that your fire would come and burn away everything that's not of you. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you would burn away our comfort. Lord, burn away the comfort to the level, Lord Jesus, that we seek you like we've never sought you before. That there's a level of revival, there's a resurgence and a renewal and a burning zeal for the things of God and for the person of God. And for, Lord, to be used of you and to walk in your spirit and to fulfill your purpose and your will in our lives. Holy Spirit, send the fire. Send the fire of your presence in this place today. And we'll give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. I just thank you, Jesus, that the devil is defeated. The devil is not welcome here. In the name of Jesus, I command every demon of hell, every spirit that's not of Jesus to leave these premises right now in the name of Jesus. And I praise you for liberty in this house. I praise you for revival and renewal upon the people of God. I pray that tongues of fire, the wind and the fire of the Spirit would just blow into this house like on the day of Pentecost. And I give you the glory in advance. In the praise and the honor, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, would you lift your hands and say, Lord, send the fire in my life. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things, and everybody said, amen, hallelujah. Sit down if you want to. Just stay standing if you want. That's fine. Don't matter to me. Hallelujah. Fire. Fire speaks of life. It speaks of energy. It speaks of intensity, passion. Luke said, the physician, when this one comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Hallelujah. Because how many of you know that our God, the scripture says, is a consuming fire? When I was growing up in the church, how many of you grew up in a Pentecostal church or the Church of God? Raise your hands. Come on, raise your hands. You ain't ashamed of it, are you? What's wrong with you? I don't know about you, but I'm not ashamed of my heritage. I'm not ashamed of who I am in Christ. I'm not ashamed of the Holy Ghost in my life. When I was growing up, every service in some form or fashion had the fire in it. The fire was either in the songs, it was in the testimonies, it was in the preaching, it was in the altar service, it was in the teaching, it was in Sunday school, that we were waiting for the fire of God to show up and to burn in our lives. And we were so hungry for God, we came with a passion, we came with a zeal, we came with a fervor. I'm afraid that too many today have gotten comfortable in Zion. They've gotten comfortable, and we talked about that. I was amazed this morning as I sat in the Sunday school class, and what we were talking about is overcoming the giant of comfort, because we, in this day, we are all about comfort, the comforts of life, and we're just after those in any way and form and shape that we can find them. We want to be comfortable And in some respects, there is nothing wrong with seeking comfort, because that is the nature of who we are. But how many of you know, when it comes to the spiritual things of life, we need to be moved out of our comfort zones again. We need to get to the place where we are uncomfortable so that we can seek the face of God again. We need the power and the demonstration of the Spirit of God. That's what Paul said to the Corinthian church. He said, I came not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I came with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith would not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. If you came to see me today, you came to see the wrong person. I came to lift up Jesus. I came to worship Jesus. If you came to get somebody else to lift you up, if you came to get somebody else to entertain you, you came for the wrong reasons. But if you came to lift up Jesus, you came to be in His presence, and you want the fire to burn, you came to the right place. We need a fresh fire fall. Years ago in the Yosemite Mountains, they had a spectacle. They called it a firefall. And every year, thousands of people would drive to the Yosemite National Park to see this firefall. What they would do, they would take these old trees that were dead, and they would pile them together, and the bulldozer would push them up to the cliff of that mountain. They poured gasoline all over it, set it on fire, and they would shove it over the mountain, and people would drive thousands of miles. They would come from all over the place to see. It looked like a Niagara firefall just coming down, cascade, and people were just, it was just an awesome experience to see the fire falling. And as the story goes, there was a man who came the very next year to see this spectacle, to see this firefall, and the park ranger had to tell this man, I'm sorry, but he said these words. He said, we don't have the firefall anymore. Could it be that speaks of what's going on in the church today? That we don't have the fire to fall anymore. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of just going through the motions. I'm tired of people just sitting down like, you know, bless me if you can. And just having this attitude, well, that's not the kind of song that I want to be sung, and that's not my style of music, and that's not, why don't we just get off of our tails and start worshiping God and magnify and praise Him? We're singing songs to glorify the name of Jesus. Who cares about the style if it's lifting up the name of Jesus? Then lift up your hands and lift up your voices and give Jesus praise until the fire falls on your life. If you lift up your life to Him, the fire of God will fall again. Hallelujah. Right? Somebody's waiting for the Holy Ghost goosebumps to come on them, then I'll praise the Lord. Why don't you be the key to the service and lift up a hallelujah anyhow and begin to worship Him from the depths of your soul? Jesus has been too good to me. I don't know about you. He set me free. He's pulled me out of the miry clay and set my feet on the rock to stay. I'm looking for a fresh fire from God to come upon the people of God again. Let's get real. Let's get honest. We need a fresh move of the Holy Ghost. If there's anybody that wants the Holy Ghost to move in your life, lift your hands and say, God, do it again. Do it again. Do it again in the church of God today. Do it again all over the land. Pour out your Spirit on the church. Hallelujah. Come on, praise Him, church. Praise Him, church. Praise Him. Praise Him. There comes a wind of Pentecost right there. Lift your hands and receive it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Anybody hungry for God? Anybody hungry for God? Let me tell you what we've got to be careful with. We've got to be careful about being so seeker sensitive that we become Holy Spirit insensitive. I'm all about, my heart is to win the community for Christ. How many of you want to win people to Jesus? Just a few months ago, we had a huge event here at the church. We had, I think it was 200 and over 200 and something people that had never been here, never set foot on this property before. That's glory to God. You put a lot of effort into that. You, kudos to you for working so hard. But listen, we can't get to the place where we are so seeker sensitive that we're scared that the Holy Ghost might move and scare somebody. You know what I'm talking about. Well, I invited so-and-so to come to church with me this Sunday, but just as sure as I do, and some of you have been there before, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, you're afraid she's going to stand up and do the helicopter spin and scare your visitor to death. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But here's the thing. You can't get to the point where you're scared to bring somebody. What's wrong? Are you ashamed of Pentecost? Are you ashamed of the Holy Spirit? Are you ashamed of this manifestation that we know is genuine, that we know is real? Because if that person is truly hungry for God, are you hearing me? They will not be scared off. They will be concerned. They will have some questions that you'll have to answer. But if they're truly hungry for God, if you read your Bible in 1 Corinthians 14, they will have to say, God is in this place. When people begin to speak in tongues and prophesy and the power of God is poured out, they will be left to say, God is in your midst. The power of God is in this place. Tell me more. What's this tongues all about? What's this gifts of the Spirit all about? What's this lifting your hands all about? What's everybody praying at the same time all about? I mean, when people come from different traditions, it doesn't make sense. But how many of you know that God can hear everybody praying at the same time? It's called concert prayer. Why don't you do it right now? Everybody in this place, lift up a praise and lift up a prayer and thank the name of Jesus. He is in this house. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. In Deuteronomy 4, the Bible said that God spoke to his people out of the midst of the fire. In Hebrews 12 and 29, for our God is a consuming fire. In Malachi 3 and 2, the Bible says he is a refiner's fire. In Isaiah 4, the Bible says that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of burning. Hallelujah. And Matthew said it the same way in Matthew 3 and 11. I indeed baptize you with water into repentance. Thank God for the baptism in water. Amen. But that's not the only baptism we're to seek. That's not the only baptism we are to follow. We need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. If there was more people today that was surrendering their lives to the control and the person and the power of the Holy Spirit, we would get rid of a whole lot of the problems that we encounter in the church. If more people were full of the Holy Ghost instead of full of sin and the world and the things of this world, how many of you know that there'd be a whole lot more power and a whole lot more unity and a whole lot more freedom in the church today? Because you can't be full of the world and full of the Holy Ghost at the same time. You're going to have to choose who you're going to serve. Fire. When Moses saw the burning bush, God first warned him that he was standing on holy ground. Hallelujah. Told him of the great thing he was about to do to release Israel from the captivity of Pharaoh. In Isaiah 6, when Isaiah was in the temple and it filled with the smoke of the burning holiness of God, His awareness of being unclean came before God equipped him to proclaim his message. Anybody understand here today that the purity of God and the holiness of God precedes the power from God and for God? Are you hearing me today? You can't do what God's called you to do and be who God's called you to be until you surrender your life fully to him, till you offer your body, according to Romans 12, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable form of worship. And every time you see a sacrifice made in the Old Testament, it involved fire, and it also involved something that was pleasing, and there was approval from God. It pointed to being pleasing and approving unto God. Isaiah chapter 6, this is how Isaiah responded. He said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged." How many of you know what that feels like when the sin in your life is purged and washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ? And when the fire of God takes over, it will not be a comfortable experience for those who sit at ease in Zion. In other words, those who are kind of riding the fence, kind of got a little bit of God, but they got a little bit of this over here too. How many of you know that's a miserable state to be in? It's a miserable state. I believe God is saying to us again, why don't you give all of me, all of yourself to me, all of your life to me, even those parts that you think are not worthy, that are ugly, that are broken. God says, bring it all to me. You bring it all to me. I know what to do with it. You just offer it to me as a living sacrifice. Let the fire of God come again and burn away the chaff. Burn away that which is not useful. Amen. Just burn it away. Fire of God come. Fire of God come. The idea of being filled with the Spirit is not to give us nice emotions and just lovely church meetings. I mean, because we want the fire of God to come into our meetings. But how many of you know it's not just about what happens here? We want the fire of God to come and consume our lives. And when we walk out of this building and we go into our daily lives, the fire of God is moving. The zeal and the fervor and the passion for God is there. It's there enough to make us want to open our Bibles. It's there enough to make us want to pray. It's there enough to make us want to witness. It's there enough to make us want to lay hands on somebody in our family who's sick. The fire of God is burning enough to where you can lay hands on your spouse and believe for healing in their body and believe for God to give them a good day. I'm here to tell you today, the fire of God will change your life. If you have the fire of God, you can't keep it to yourself. Fire of God is contagious. Fire spreads. But I told you, it's not always a comfortable experience. I think sometimes we look at the fire of God as it's always an enjoyable experience. But tell that to Jeremiah. Jeremiah said in chapter 20, he said, "I will not make mention of your name anymore." Why did he say that? Because he was so tired of people not listening to him. He's so tired of speaking for God and nobody responding. Because from a earthly, worldly perspective, Jeremiah was not very successful. But let me ask you right here, what defines success? Who defines success? Is it what the world says about you or what God says about you? And what defines that? Isn't it doing the will of God? Isn't it doing what he said to do? Because God had raised Jeremiah up. He said, I've raised you up from your mother's womb. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go speak to them. They're not going to listen to you, but I want you to speak anyway. They're probably going to turn. They're going to turn their head away from you, but I want you to speak it anyway. You see, you got to be obedient to the voice of God, because at some point you will see the fruit, but it may not be the way the world sees it. You've got to do it under the will of God and understand that His purpose is going to be fulfilled in His time. Fire. He said, I don't want to speak anymore. But His word was like a fire shut up in my bones. Remember, we used to sing that song, Fire Shut Up in My Bones. Like it was a great thing. He was saying, you know what, this thing is, it's uncomfortable. We talked about it this morning in Sunday school. I believe the fire also comes to get us out of our places of comfort, to push us into those realms of new possibilities, of new opportunities, of seeking God and doing His will. We need a firefall, church. How many of you want the fire of God to come in your life? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fire in the Bible, in most cases, is symbolic of the acceptance and the approval of God. Fire did not follow the Old Testament altars until something had been done in that spot, in that place, that pleased God and that God had accepted, and what they had been done, and then the fire fell. In Leviticus 9, a fire went out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the sacrifice, and the people fell on their faces. It was the approval and acceptance of their sacrifice, and then the fire fell on it. In Genesis 15 and 17, when Abraham prayed, the Bible says a lamp of fire began to walk before him. In Judges chapter 13, the Bible says that Manoah, the father of Samson, was offering a sacrifice on a rock in the presence of the angel of the Lord. Although at the time Manoah did not know it was an angel of the Lord. And the Bible says in verse 19, and Manoah took a young goat with the grain offering and offered it upon the rock to the Lord. And he, meaning the angel of the Lord, the Bible says, did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. In verse 20 it says, and it happened as the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And the literal translation says that angel shouted in the fire as the fire fell up on that rock. Can you just imagine that with me as Manoah and his wife are looking on? This fire just ascends up to heaven, and all of a sudden they see this angel doing some kind of a dance in that fire. I don't know exactly what an angel looks like when it dances. I just know it was a beautiful scene. Have you ever seen somebody dance in the Spirit and dance in the presence and the power of God? I'm here today to tell you, we need the fire of God to fall again upon our lives. Hallelujah. When our lives get to the place where we line up with the holiness and the purity of Jesus, then His fire will fall on us. I'm not trying to say get God to love you more. How many of you know that God won't love you any more than He loves you right now? I'm not talking about that. But what I am saying is that when you get to the place where you are completely surrendered to God, and I don't know about you, but that's an everyday thing for me. I have to surrender all over again. That's part of dying to self, dying to the world, dying to the flesh, dying to the ways of the world. When you're completely surrendered to God, to the place where you are dependent upon Him. Maybe that's what God's trying to do too when He moves us out of our comfort zones. He's trying to get us back to Him, where our focus is not on how much money we have in the bank. Our focus is not on our retirement plan. We talked about it this morning in Sunday school. Our focus is not on all these niceties and comforts of life, but we are forced out of our comfort zone to realize, oh, wait a minute, I have veered away from the source of my life. I've veered away from what's really most important. I believe God is looking for some people again today who don't have to have money in the bank account in order to be happy, in order to have the joy of the Lord, which is their strength. They can praise God no matter what. What happened to the simplicity of Pentecost? How many of you know that when back in those days, they didn't have much, but Lord, they could worship God. They didn't have a whole lot, but my goodness, it wouldn't keep them from worshiping and praising the name of Jesus. Why? Because they saw the simplicity that comes in surrendering to God. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You can take everything I got away in this world, but just give me Jesus. You just give me Jesus and the presence and the fire of the Holy Ghost, and I've got all I need. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? If you've got Jesus, you've got His presence, you've got faith, it'll help you press on in spite of the circumstances. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want the power of God in my life. I want the power of God in your life. I want the power of God to flow in this church. It's time for a firefall. When we're more concerned about impressing the community than we are about impressing God with our praise, then we need a firefall. When the worship of the church becomes highly mechanical and predictable, we need a firefall. And that doesn't say I don't believe in organization, because I am an organization freak. I want to be organized. I believe God honors order. But how many of you know when you let the Holy Spirit move, He can just throw your order of service out the window. Anybody open to that? You just open to the Spirit moving. You're open. Anybody open to the Spirit moving? You're open to Pentecost. You're open to the Holy Ghost. You're open to how He wants to move. If we need to have an altar service right in the middle of the service, then fine. At the beginning of the service, if you need to have three altar calls, I'm open to it. Just Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way, Holy Spirit. That's the beautiful dynamic of Pentecostal worship. Is when we realize that you and I are not in control. Are there any control freaks in the house? You always want to be in control. But you can't always be in control if you want the Holy Spirit to be in control. You remember that old song, Give Up and Let Jesus Take Over. Hallelujah. Lift your hands with me again if you want the fire of God to fall. And tell Him, Lord, send your fire in my life. Send your fire in my life. Hallelujah. I was going to preach some more, but I feel God has told me to stop right here. Would you stand? And just keep those hands lifted in honor and praise to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And just if you here this morning just want a fresh move of the Holy Spirit in your life and you want the fire to fall, I want you to step out from where you are and make your way to these altars as quick as you can. I need my prayer workers down here. Let's just ask God to come with a fresh fire, a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. Come, everybody, come. Let's receive a fresh anointing from God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need a fire fall. We don't need to be at ease. In Zion, we need to move out of our comfort zones. The fire of God will cause you to pray again. The fire of God will cause you to seek Him again. The fire of God will cause you to praise Him like you used to praise Him. The fire of God will come over you. Hallelujah! 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 Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Need a fresh fire from God, even if you're not in this altar, even in the pew, just lift your hands and receive it. Oh, Jesus, do a work in my life. Pour out a fresh anointing in my life, Jesus. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. Hallelujah. Fresh fire, fresh fire, fresh fire. You altar workers, you have liberty to walk around and pray for people. Pray for them. Hallelujah. Pray for them. Pray for one another. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. 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 Reach over and touch somebody and gently pray fresh fire. Fresh fire. Hallelujah, Jesus. Fresh fire. Fresh fire of the Holy Spirit. Woo!